How much time do you spend working on you? What kind of investment have you made in you?
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it. Period.
Welcome to It's Tight Mate, a podcast that is here to educate, entertain, and inspire all generations. Join us on our journey through all things investing, financial, health and well-being, and most importantly, yourself. While listening, be sure to consider these three questions. How can I use this information? Why is it important? And what actions can I take? And now for your hosts, Brandon and Kyle Turton.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tight Mate Podcast. Kyle, how are you?
Fantastic, Brando. It's great to have another show on the way. And obviously we've got a special guest again who's been on previously. So Jack Holmes, welcome.
Lads, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you back.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting to have you on. And we had the privilege to come down to Corowa today and do the podcast in Jack's house. So very exciting.
It's a really beautiful home you have here, Jack.
Oh, thanks, mate. The interior design, I did it all myself. Isabel's done most of it.
It is looking very good.
Today we are going to focus on a bit about mindset and obviously the rising interest rates that have been occurring in recent times.
Yeah, but before we get into that, we'll have a little bit of chat about what caught your eye this past fortnight. Jack, you can start.
Well, I mean, the RBA shocked the world, shocked Australia at least, when they jumped to their cash rate up from whatever it was, 0.35 to 0.85, 0.5%. And the stock market had a bit of a quick tumble. I think it dropped about 70 points in a minute and a half.
Yeah, once it was called, like you just see the graph, and it's when I think it was like 2 o'clock or something like that. Yeah. It just dropped dramatically. Yeah. That was pretty insightful. But just buy up. I'm joking. But what caught my eye, So coming back yesterday from Melbourne, we had to put fuel in and it's a solid $2 and I'm like, gee, that's rough. But then I looked on the AFR and England and New Zealand are paying $3 for their fuel per litre. So I am somewhat grateful and we got to look at it from that.
Yeah, we ended up getting $1.96. Well, you, I should say, because... Yeah. You were the one paying for it, and I just hitched a free ride.
That's a tight
He's not bad, is he? Not bad at all. So, yeah, I bite the bullet. It's not as bad as what's going on in Europe. Brando, what caught your eye?
Yeah, so just on top of what Jack just mentioned, obviously the rates got brought up. So the ASX actually had its worst week since 2020, which is pretty big.
What was the percentage drop?
I'm not quite sure,
I think
but
it was maybe 4%.
Yeah, over the week, 4%.
Yeah.
Yesterday something was like a pretty steep decline as well.
The banks got roughed up a little bit.
Yeah, I think the whole market just gone.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Thursday and Friday it was like 7-point declines both times. So,
yeah. But not to worry because if you're a long-term investor,
that's right.
You're gonna hold and wait this winter period out.
Don't worry about the short time. All right, so. What's your best and worst investments?
Well, I don't know. I think investing into yourself is a pretty good one. I mean, I don't read as many books as I'd like to, but I read a lot of textbooks, and I think that shows. You know, if you've invested some time into yourself, you know, into your education, I think it's
knowledge.
Oh, knowledge, 100%.
Yeah,
and just to recap, if people haven't listened to our last one, Jack, what do you do with yourself?
So I work in financial planning, so, client service officer. So we sort of just help any of the clients with whatever they need, whether it be, investing into shares or insurance and, all the type of stuff. So.
Yeah. And on top of like the textbooks that you just mentioned, you're also still studying?
Yes. Yeah. Got 4 subjects left and then I'll be finishing my bachelor's.
Basically almost
big boy.
There.
Yeah.
So what will your degree get you?
Probably more study, unfortunately. I'll have to do a professional year as a financial advisor to be fully qualified.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would take that as it comes.
How many hours do you have to do? Or is it just like a year of...
It's a year. So you can do 6 months of working close with an advisor. I have a few requirements. Like you had to write certain pieces of advice and
38 hours a week?
I think it's just your normal work. I think whether it's, 20, 30 or whatever it is, 50. Then you're halfway through, you've got to sit a Fazier exam. And then after that, you basically can take on clients.
Yeah.
So that was your best investment, which was education.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. From Jack.
Did we talk about your worst investment, though?
Throw some money in crypto. It's a bit of a disappearing act, crypto. The more money you put in,
it's still an interesting area, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think you still, got to watch it. I think it will take, part in our lives in the future, possibly. Mm. So it's one to watch out for.
But, yeah, definitely.
Besides our podcast, Jack, because I know you are really one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal. What else? Yeah, very loyal. What else have you been listening to or anything that's caught your eye on, like books or podcasts?
The My Millennial Money is pretty good. I like the My Millennial Property as well. I like John's insights.
John Pidgeau.
He's been pretty good.
Emily is...
Yes, Emily. I think she's Melbourne.
Yeah, she's Melbourne-based.
Yeah. So I think, very knowledgeable. Good to listen to on a Wednesday morning, I think.
Yeah. They give you good insights on what's happening in the market, ideas from their whole community as well. Yeah. So, they're giving ideas from... just your typical person that owns property or plan to own property, like what should we do? And they just break it down.
They live and breathe like property. That's their jobs, being advisors, advocates.
So yeah, yeah.
Very, got a lot of knowledge behind them. Which is good.
That's their niche.
Okay, so today's topic of interest that we're going to move on to from here is, why are they rising at the moment so rapidly?
Well, I think that's on everyone's lips at the minute, whether it's the news or the newspapers. I mean, I think everyone's talking about inflation, whether it be in Australia or the US.
Mm.
I think those rate rises, policies used by the RBA to sort of push the brakes a little bit, slow down demand.
Yeah.
If everything costs you more, you don't have as much money to spend, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. Essentially, what they're trying to achieve is to slow inflation because it's been at its highest. I saw America came out again, their highest 8.6 in inflated percent.
I think that's almost maxed out there.
Yeah, hopefully it's a peak.
What comes.
Well, if it doesn't get stopped, it just keeps going and going and going. You know, it's the 20%.
And then the interest rates will keep going up as well to curb that. So
it's a way to negate it. Yeah. But what about, so obviously there's a new government that's come into play.
Yes.
Has much really changed with that?
Oh, I think it's probably too soon to tell. They've released their ideas and new policies that they've suggested, some new housing plans. They're looking to make TAFE free to try and get people into industries that they need.
Yeah.
Because Australia, as well as many other places in the world, they can't fill positions they need, whether it be nurses or tradies or
even teachers.
Even teachers.
So maybe if there's more demand, your prices should go up for salaries in teaching, do you think, Brenda?
I really do.
200k teachers.
I would not say no to that, but
What was Labor's take on housing? Wasn't it they're buying in with their take was to buy in with a person that wanted to purchase a home?
Yep.
They take up 40% or something 30, like that.
30 to 40. Yeah, depends on. I think it depends on the asset you're buying a little bit.
I think
there's certain limits with it, but
the
idea is that you can't afford, the bank won't lend you the money. If they sort of buy into your asset, then it's sort of secure.
Yeah, security for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
then with that, if they hold that property and they go to sell it, that 30% grows as well.
Yeah.
And the government will take the 30% back. If it's grown, the property in equity, they still take that 30%. Mm. I mean,
And you'd think the government would be able to pay off the 30%, don't you think? Oh,
so really, it's actually a pretty big investment by the Labor. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty smart as well.
Yeah,
if,
it is.
If housing continues to grow, which if history repeats itself,
may do.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting. They've only offered 10,000 spots per year.
So oh, is it?
Yeah, it's okay. Limited. It's similar to the 5% scheme that the government introduced as well, they're only offering limited spaces. But you know, if you're looking into it, I mean,
yeah, it's an opportunity.
It has like a pretty specific criteria for if you earn over something,
you do. Yeah, I think there's maxes
cuts
for
you in, out. I think
max is for income and max is for your for the potential. I think potential asset value as well. So if the house is over X amount, you won't be able to utilize them.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like, lots of people think they can't get into the housing market, but they haven't actually looked at the research and opportunities that they could get into, like with this scheme, with the Labor government to assist with that. So, you know, you just got to be more open-minded and actually have a deeper look into it.
I think one thing with that is if you live in Melbourne, right? A lot of people's mindset is like, well, I live in Melbourne. I can never afford to buy a $1 million property.
Mm.
But have you thought about other options, like maybe rent vesting?
Mm.
So buying in a rural area where it's a lot cheaper, more affordable.
Yep.
But still rent in Melbourne where you want to live.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just another option.
Yeah, it's always bringing ideas up. But yeah, obviously interest rates are rising, so do mortgages.
Yeah, mortgage repayments are getting more expensive.
Yeah, so I guess, how does that affect everyone though? They got to pay more each month, so they're not able to spend as much money. They'll have to tighten up a bit.
That's right.
Or if they don't want to do that, they sell the house.
Sell. It's I think it's an interesting topic to discuss because a lot of people have that way. You know, they got to weigh up what their goals are, and if their goal is to, you know, live in your own home, then you're going to have to find the money somehow.
Yeah.
And whether that means cutting back on consumer spending, that you know, you don't need to go to the pub every Saturday night, you know, you don't have to go out for tea twice a week.
Buy new clothes,
you know, if you can cut back somewhere, you know.
Yeah. So you think if people have that mindset, it's going to hurt retail companies like JB Hi-Fi and all that, because...
But in a way, that's what the government
wants. What they want.
Yeah. The inflation. Yeah. So that's a way of doing it. It does change people's mindset on where they put their money.
It hurts people's pockets, but
and you'd think people would want to hold on to their house more than wanting to spend money on clothes and that.
Well, and the thing is, people, there's a housing shortage, I'd say, nearly everywhere in Australia, because there's been pent up demand for new housing. And if you go to sell your house, it's fantastic. You might get 30% more than you paid for it, but where are you going to live? You're going to go live in a caravan? You're going to go live in a tent? Like, there's no houses.
And then you got to rent as well, and rent's going up. So that's another price factor that you have to...
And that comes into, obviously, mortgages going up. So
passes on to
the landlord. The landlord wants to bump up the rentals. So.
Yeah, it's this whole effect. But I did see that Macquarie Bank came out with 1.5% for... transactional accounts, so you like savers account. So that's pretty significant. So like I was like, well, if Macquarie is doing that, then you'd think other banks would
follow,
latch on, because it's an opportunity to get new customers. Like, even I was like, that's not a bad idea. And it I think the cap is 250,000.
Yeah, so most of the 250 for the government guarantee. If you have more than 250, the government, if they go under, you know,
take
the money for the bank.
Yeah,
and
so
one good thing from this is that people that are retiring, that are, you know, cash heavy, they're really liking it. Like, I spoke to Nen the past week, and she was really wrapped with interest rates going up, and I was like, oh, come on, Nen.
It's you know what's funny? Like, we were talking to our Nen how years ago interest rates were like 16 to 20%.
Yeah,
it's like insane.
But they've actually, I seen on the Financial Review recently, so with like wages and everything like that, 7% is comparable to 17% from back in the day.
Right. Okay.
Just because of how much mortgages are etc. Now.
Yeah, so okay.
That 7% is comparable to 7%.
Yeah, right.
Cost of living's gone up.
Cost of living. Things have changed in the world.
Yeah.
But still interesting.
For the better? Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that. But yeah, I guess spending, so that's going to change maybe for those that have mortgages, not spending as much. Stock market, what do you think? There's a lot less confidence at the moment with like tech stocks and all those, like even banks are pretty well supported, but yeah, the techs, they're probably the large influence on the market drop at the moment, especially in America, not so much ASX. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think in the States, they've been hammered, Noel. They've been absolutely hammered. I think I was looking at FANG ETF the other day. And I think last one I was looking at, it was close to $19. And I think it was closer to 12 or 11 during the week. And I was taken aback, but obviously, I think they're now named Meta, which kind of screws up the FANG ticker. But Facebook took a bit of all those sort of tech stocks, and every ETF that's sort of tech heavy has been relatively, you know,
smashed.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I was also looking at lithium stocks as well. Got hammered. Any sort of mining stock that had held
ASX
lithium.
ASX ones.
They got hammered.
They did. What came out? I think they essentially put the prices into lithium, and they're not as expensive as what it was
a few
months ago. Say if it's like 2,000 a ton or something like that. I'm not fully sure, but that's obviously dropped, and profits aren't as large, so that's the influence on that.
Yeah,
it's just volatility everywhere. Everyone's so unsure with what. I think everyone should be aware that the RBA is going to continue rising the cash rate, and the banks and, you know, any sort of lender is going to pass it on to their clients. So, you know, I think everyone's sort of concerned that.
And that's kind of something that you've noticed with like clients or people around where you work.
Yeah, a lot of people ask, you know, what's going to happen. Obviously, nobody has a crystal ball as much as we'd like to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think people always come in there, you know, they say, oh, what's this share going to do? And it's like, well, don't know. They're going to predict their results. And if it's off, then the market's going to react poorly.
Yeah.
Whether that's commodities or a company or even the economy. If the predicted results aren't close.
So you've kind of noticed the change that, you know, people have sort of come in a little bit more asking, oh, what's happening? Because they're seeing more of these days where it's in the red and shares are declining more. Housing's declining slowly as well, I've read.
Yeah, house prices are interesting. I think you find that people are getting to a point where, you know, if they earn 40K, they can't afford a $1.5 million house. So, you know, it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to have to realise that money isn't growing on trees and the bank's not going to lend you money forever. So it comes to a point where you just can't afford it.
Yeah, definitely. And has much really changed for you guys in like where you put your investments, or it's all pretty same?
I think the motto, I think we hinted at the start, was you got to hold for long term. So I think a lot of the clients have a mindset that, you know, you've invested in investments that are solid and they have a good background. You know, I think you guys call it a moat.
Yeah.
They're good moat shares. And I think, you know, if that's the case, then you just weather the storm. What's the point in rushing out and selling at a loss, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, because they're still awesome companies. Like, not much has really changed. Like, their product's still the same, or they keep releasing new products, whatever it is. And so people are still going to continue to buy that product.
Yeah.
It's Apple. Everyone's going to buy Apple products.
I'm never going to buy another type of phone, I don't think.
Yeah, I was...
Immediate future anyway.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. It was like, would you actually consider buying a different brand phone?
I was literally just bought a new phone and you would not believe it. It's an Apple.
So they've got that retention. People just love Apple. It's got that great brand. So Yeah, I wouldn't move to another farm.
I've seen in the past week that they've just brought out a buy now, pay later.
Yeah, Apple.
As well, just to go on top of that.
Like it, right? I can't wait for McDonald's to bring out a buy now, pay later for
your food.
Soft serve or something.
So yeah. That market now is absolutely saturated.
100%.
What's your thoughts on the buy now, pay later sector?
Oh, you know, cockroaches. You know, you're taking advantage of people who are uneducated too, and they're gonna all these propaganda that says you know it's free and you know you don't have to, it doesn't cost you any money.
Yeah,
it's like, well, if you miss half a cent, you know you're gonna get stitched up for 20% interest.
Yeah,
compounded monthly or compounded daily. I don't think anyone who's got a good investing mindset should be looking to buy now, pay later.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Or using it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Afterpay got brought out at the perfect time.
Yes.
Like, it was at its absolute peak. Like, everyone was talking about Afterpay, how well it's gone, and it got bought out for $39 billion by Block. So, yeah, I think it was perfect. What do you think of Zip?
Oh, well, I don't know any shareholders of Zip, do you, Paul?
Nah, mate. Yeah, it's very saturated, and it's going to be hard for all these companies to compete against each other.
Especially when they're offering the exact same product every time. Like, the product is identical. The only difference is how they market it to people in reality.
Yeah, so not much point of difference, is there?
No, not at all.
Yes. Anyway, we'll move on from that hot topic. So last podcast, Jack, you actually might have mentioned, or you spoke to us about possibly using equity from your home that you've got at the moment. Is this something that you're still considering, or you just...
I think yes, definitely. I'd like to get the house finished first. I've still got to do a bit of landscaping around the joint, but once that's all complete, I'd like to think that if I got a valuation done, that there might be a bit of equity there. And I think when you do have the ability to go again, you know, especially in this market, it would be I think you could just take the opportunity up when you can.
Yeah,
so,
it'd be pretty wise.
Possibly is going to be some opportunity come up very soon in this market that's rapidly changing. But on that, we should probably clarify what equity is as well for our listeners, because some may not be aware. So Jack, would you be able to explain that?
Yeah, sure. So your equity basically means what the bank thinks the property's worth, less what your debt is. Now, unfortunately, banks are pretty strategic, and the banks don't like risk. And so what happens generally is that you will be allowed to borrow up to 80% of your loan-to-value ratio. So your loan-to-value ratio is basically how much debt you have to the value of the property. So if you've got a $500,000 property, you'd be able to borrow up to $400,000.
Yeah.
So if you've got a $350,000 loan, then you'll have $50,000 worth of equity.
And people can use that $50,000 and put it into a deposit for another house.
In theory, they can. So obviously, left to the bank's discretion. But in theory, they will let you take that equity and.
So it's a great way of using that equity to buy another property.
But again, you obviously got to have the right salary and being able to pay for that.
Still have to be able to service.
Service.
A loan.
And especially if you go to pull equity out, you can have two mortgages to service. In theory, you might have a renter, but you still have to service that mortgage.
It's definitely a strategy that a lot of people do use and consider using. Yourself, Jack, so.
Might be a bit hard to squeeze out equity at this point in time, though. It's not as bullish as what it was 6 months ago.
Yeah. Which we really like that it's slowing down.
Is that right, boys?
Yes. Kyle and I are quite interested in getting into this property market. So hopefully we might have a bit of news to chat about.
Would be good.
In the coming weeks.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at... you got any book tips, or you said you're not reading many books at the moment, but any tight tips? Any recommendations?
Yeah, look, I've actually been using, I think you guys are familiar with the Raise platform.
Yep.
So I've been doing a little bit of online shopping, and I didn't realise that they have rewards in there. So if you spend with your linked card, they actually give you, some of it's like 2%, some of it's like 6%. They actually
cash back
into your Raise account. So
and
you don't
good.
Even know it. So you can just link your card.
Yeah.
And they just transfer the money. So I think that's a...
So if you do feel like lashing out at a particular retail store that...
Yeah, Nike, I'm a bit... I do spend a bit of money there. So, yeah, just cash back, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a good one. Yeah, I don't mind that. Yeah, I did see Raise, like, they have their rewards. I think Wii Money does similar, maybe, where you have rewards where they'll cash back if you shop at a certain place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder how that works, though, with affiliation.
So that cash goes straight back into your account, or does it go into your
investing account? No, yeah. they don't give it straight back to you. Yeah. That's too strategic.
So it's money that gets reinvested back into your Raise account.
Yeah, you know, I just set it up, and I don't actually put any money into my Raise account, but it's just through reinvestments and stuff like that goes into.
No, that's a good way to get extra money in.
Yeah, I like it.
Especially
if you
don't have cash flow. I mean, just everyday spending.
Mm.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, it's a good one. Now with book recommendations, last week we put out for people to go in the draw, send us a DM with a book recommendation or any positive recommendation based on mindset, and we had a few that were sent in, and we got one from Juddy43 that we really enjoyed. He sent in a recommendation, and this was A Man's Search for Meaning, which is by Viktor Frankl. You haven't read this one, Jack?
No.
Don't know what it's about?
No, not a clue.
So it's about Victor. He was in the Holocaust. He was a prisoner. Yeah. And essentially, you know, he talks about finding purpose, where this is through suffering as well. I haven't read this book. We do have it, though. I think Bailey got it. So I'll have to give that a good read.
Thanks, Juddy.
Thanks, Juddy, for sending that one in.
I would say it's possibly quite similar to that book that we've also read, The Happiest Man Alive.
Mm, by Eddie Jekyll, I think it is.
Who was also a Holocaust survivor. And it puts like your life in perspective. Mm. And you think about what
they had to go through.
And, like, we complain about like small little things that are just not worth complaining about.
Yeah, yeah, so. Absolutely. So well done to Juddy. The prize that he gets is a choice of a book that he wants to read, and we'll send that out to him. So we'll get in contact with Juddy. Thanks for your recommendation.
Cheers, Juddy.
We're going to finish with some lovely quotes that Brando and myself absolutely love. And Jack, you're going to be the judge of this one. So you're going to pick who has the best quote to finish off the episode. So Brando, do you want to start with your quote?
Yeah, I'll start off with a massive, hard-hitting one. So investing should be more like watching paint dry or watching grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas.
Not bad.
And you
want
to know
that's
what?
Good.
I've done that. And I lost all my money. So that goes to show.
Did you have fun, though? Not really at the end of the night when you know you've lost $800.
The next day, I was pretty sad. But that night, I was pretty happy.
I couldn't imagine a time where I'm $800 in the hole. I'm still happy.
Yeah, true. All right.
Okay, Carl.
This one's by Peter Lynch. You get recessions, you have stock market declines. If you don't understand that's going to happen, then you're not ready. You won't do well in the markets. Amen. Isn't that the truth?
Oh, I think they're both pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean...
You got to pick a winner, though.
Oh, do I? I might go with Kyle.
Hey, thanks, mate.
I'll just give some context here. Like, Jack and Kyle are like really good friends, so that's probably why he's picked that one. Thought I'd let everyone know. I think we'll wrap up there. So, Jack, thank you very much for coming back onto our podcast. It's always good getting an insight from a future financial planner.
That's good to be on. I appreciate it.
He's going to be our go-to, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're our man.
I'll do anything for you.
We'll just have to come move to Melbourne. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, we really appreciate you taking up your time to come on the potty. So, thank you very much. And thanks to everyone that's listened. Stay tight. Thank you so much to everyone that has listened to this episode. We truly do appreciate it. If you'd like to, you can give us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Obviously, a 5-star rating is only applicable. Furthermore, you can follow us on our socials, including Instagram and now TikTok at Tightmates.
All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purpose only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of That's Tightmate podcast are not financial advisors and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, if necessary, you should consult with a professional financial advisor.